إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, بإذنالله تعالى, this is our fifth session reading from عشر القواعد في تزكية النفس, 10 principles concerning purification of the soul by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, حفظهم الله, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, بإذنالله تعالى, we will be reading the fourth قاعدة. And all of them are extremely important, but I hope that inshallah this one will be not only a reminder, but also will be an encouragement and a motivation to look at this particular affair more carefully. Before we look at the fourth principle, we're going to go back and review a couple of points that we had from the previous session, questionnaire study guide lecture number 4. First question being, what is Al-Qa'ida Al-Thalitha, the third principle related to purification of the soul? What is the third principle related to purification of the soul? Now, Muhammad, Saeed, Jazakumullah. The Quran is the key? Okay, source of purification of the heart. طيب. Anybody want to add to that anything? طيب. The meaning here is that after we mentioned previously some of the other principles, the source of purification, the spring from which the purification comes, it is the Quran. So that means there's no way for a person to purify themselves except by drawing from the Quran. As far as the principles that we mentioned previously, mention the two previous qawaid presented by the author, Hafidhullah. Two previous principles. First one, Naam Shuaib. At-Tawheed, Naam. First principle is related to Tawheed. More detail. What about Tawheed? Naam, Waleed. It's the foundation, the asl. The asl through which souls are purified. It's Tawheed. And if the foundation is there, is not there, then there's no benefit. Second principle, Al-Qa'ida Thaniya. Naam. What is it? That, again? Supplication. Ad-Dua is the key, the muftah for purification of the soul. So that means that it's the key, without which you can't open the door. There's no purification except that you have the key to open the doorway. And that is Ad-Dua. That is Ad-Dua. After this, question number 3, describe in detail the favor of Allah upon the believers mentioned in Ayah 3:164. Third surah, Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 164, Ibrahim. Naam. Somebody translate? Somebody else.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored the believers when He missioned to them Rasulan minhum wa min anfusihim, a messenger from themselves, yatlu alayhim ayati, He reads upon them the ayat of the Quran, wa yuzakkihim, and He purifies them, wa yu'allimuhum kitab wa hikmah, and He teaches them the Quran and the Sunnah.
And the favor of Allah upon the believers is that He sent to them a messenger from amongst themselves, somebody from amongst them that they knew and that they trusted and they were comfortable with. And that messenger Yani in detail, the ni'mah of Allah, the favor of Allah, yani the fadl of Allah upon them through the Messenger, is that he recited to them the ayat of Allah. Whether ayat al-Qur'aniyya or qawniyya, the ayat of Allah. He recited to them the ayat of Allah. And he also, what?
Purified them.
He was, yani, the intermediary between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for purification of the soul. And he taught them the book and the sunnah. Al-kitab wal-hikmah, the book and the sunnah. Now, and this is indeed a tremendous favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every Muslim, every person who believes in Allah, no matter where they came from, what was their origin, if they believe in Allah and they accept the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final messenger of Allah, this is a ni'mah upon every one of us. Question number four, what has Allah guaranteed, according to the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, to those who follow the Quran? What has Allah, Sharif?
No,
we'll be miserable in the hereafter. Now, somebody will add. Now.
Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لمن اتبع القرآن ألا يضل في الدنيا ولا يشقى في الآخرة ثم تلا ومن اتبع هدايا فلا يضل ولا يشقى.
نعم. يعني ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, he said that Allah has promised, Allah has guaranteed, loving Allah, for whoever follows the Quran, and of course with the meaning of what we mean by follow the Quran, right? Whoever follows the Quran, Allah has promised for them, they will not go astray in this world. They will not go astray in this world. And they will not be, yani, miserable, wretched, the people of the losers in the next life. This is a tremendous guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is able to do whatever he wills. Yani, the guarantee of anyone other than Allah, they might be able to keep the guarantee or not. But Allah has guaranteed you will not go astray in this world, nor you will be of the losers in the next life. And then Ibn Abbas recited the ayah to support what he's saying, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever follows my guidance, then that person would not go astray, nor would they be miserable, wretched, of the losers. Now, this is tremendous, yani, ayah from the Quran, promise, guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should, yani, take to heart. Question number five, memorize ayah 1057, yani Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 57th ayah, in which Allah describes the Quran as a shifa, healing for that which is in the chest. 1057. memorization is very important, brothers and sisters. Memorization is very important. And in every class, we're going to have one or two or so, yeah, any questions that require memorization, because it's important for us to memorize. Because sometimes if we don't memorize, we will relay something from the Quran. We'll say Allah said something, and it's not what Allah said, and that's dangerous. If you memorize, you protect yourself from attributing to Allah that which He hasn't said. Now, fadl.
Allah Ta'ala in Surah Yunus. Ya ayyuhan nas, qad ja'atkum maw'idatun min rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fi as-suduri wa hudan wa rahmatan lil mu'minin. Wa rahmatan lil mu'minin.
Yani, the meaning of this ayat, somebody at least can help us with the meaning. Yanam. Muhammad. Tayyib. Question number six. Memorize the ayah, second surah, 121st ayah, Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah describes the believers as those who recite it as it should be recited. Those Allah describes the believers, Ya Walid. Naam, fadl. يَتْلُونَهُ حق تلاوته آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه تلاوته يؤمنون به. نعم. Meaning of this ayah, يعني those who, نعم,
those who
we have given the book. Atainahum kitab. Naam.
They recited with its correct recitation. And they followed as well. And the correct following. Those are the people who believe in it.
They believe in it. Naam. And those who have been given the book, they recite it. Haqqa tilawati. It's right. The way it's supposed to be recited. Whatever that means. حق تلاوته. And these are the people who really believe in it. Otherwise, other people claim they believe in the Quran, but the people who believe in the Quran are those who يعني recite the Quran حق تلاوته. And this leads us to the next question, that is, discuss the author's حفظه الله explanation of the words of Allah. يعني يتلونه حق تلاوته. They recite it as it should be recited. How has the author يعني explained the meaning of this expression? يتلونه حق تلاوته. نعم. تفضل. They recite it.
They memorize it.
They act upon it.
They contemplate about it.
They contemplate on it. فهم. And they understand it. Anybody memorize it in order? يعني كيف يكون يعني تلاوة القرآن حق تلاوته؟ بقراءته وحفظه وفهمه وتدبره والعمل به. يعني they recite it, reading it, and then they memorize it. That's why I'm saying memorization is important. Memorization is important. They understand what they are reciting, what they are memorizing. They reflect upon it. يعني what they understand from it, they contemplate the meanings of the Quran. And then they act upon it. And then they act upon it. And this is, the Shaykh says, as it was explained by the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in. Discuss the manner of Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, in learning Quran, as described by Ibn Mas'ud, by Abdul ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. What was the manner of Sahaba in learning the Quran? Naam, Mustafa.
Yes, sir. They will read and memorize 10 ayahs of the Quran.
Okay, they will read and memorize 10 ayahs of the Quran.
They will not do more than that.
They will not go beyond that.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Until they put it into action.
Okay,
and
until they know its meanings and act upon it. Until they know its meanings and act upon it. And this was the way Abdul ibn Mas'ud described the Sahaba. He said, a person from amongst us. Meaning this is how they were. Yani that when they learned 10 ayahs of the Quran, they wouldn't go past that until they knew the meanings of those ayahs and they acted upon them. And this is the way of Sahaba. And the Sahaba as a community, they are example for a community. Yani these are the people who followed the Prophet ﷺ, and their life and their actions was in accordance with what they were taught by the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. This is how we should try the best we can to learn the Quran, yani little by little, trying to understand the meanings, to know what those ayat mean and to act upon them. Finally, question, discuss the statement, question number 9, discuss the statement of Fudail ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, concerning the purpose for which the Quran was revealed.
إنما نزل القرآن ليعمل به فاتخذ الناس شراته وعمله.
نعم. وليد. يعني they have taken قراءته عملا. يعني they have considered reading it as acting upon it. Instead of that reading it is only part of it. But you have to act upon it. They have taken the reading as though that's acting upon it. Yani the recitation of the Quran, sufficient. That's what they stopped with. But the Quran was, Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he said, the Quran was sent down to be acted upon, not just to be recited, not just to be read, but to be acted upon. That's the ultimate end. That a person reads, memorizes, understands, contemplates in order to act upon it. So this is the challenge for us, and that we take the Quran to be acted upon. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to go to the fourth principle, Al-Qaida Rabia. In the Arabic text, it's on page 20, and in the English translation, on page 20? Allahu Akbar. طيب, page 20. Okay, Al-Qaidatu Al-Rabi'atu. اتخاذ الأسوة والقدوة. يعني the fourth principle for تزكية النفس is something that we're all familiar with, inshallah. And it's something that perhaps we think about often, Yani we're dealing with this principle in our lives, but maybe we didn't associate it with tazkiyatun nafs. Maybe we didn't associate it with purification of the soul. Maybe when we think about purification of the soul, we might think about other things before this. We might think about fasting or about dhikr, dua, other types of things. But here, the Shaykh has brought after the tawheed and after dua and after the Quran being the source, he came with this principle. Yani taking the Prophet wasallam as our example, as our model to be followed. This is one of the greatest means of purification of the nafs, that a person follows the example of the Prophet wasallam, that we live the way he lived, that our actions, our speech, our thinking, our feelings, our view, our yani perspective, all of it is from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh, he begins this topic or this principle by mentioning from the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 21st Ayah, the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ, that indeed, definitely, there is for you, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, yani a good, excellent example, model to be followed. Allah continued by saying, liman, yani, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ liman, yani, لَكُمْ here is not for everybody, but rather, liman كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمُ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Yani, the meaning of this ayat, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ, لَقَدْ كَانَ liman, كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ, يعني في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أسوة. Indeed, there is in the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم an excellent example for whoever has hope in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah much. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, in his tafsir of the Quran, رحمه الله, he says, هذه الآية الكريمة أصل كبير في التأسي برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أقواله وأفعاله وأحواله. That in this noble ayat, there is an asl, a foundation, yani from the usul of deen, there is an asl, a foundation, a great foundation, yani in taking the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم as the example to follow, to be followed. التأسي برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. In what? Is the example in what? Yani, in everything. في أقواله وأفعاله وأحواله. Yani, in his sayings, in his actions, and in his أحوال, his conditions. Yani, how he's feeling, what he is thinking, what he's pleased with, what he is displeased with. He's the أسوة. Yani, the example to be followed. In the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di concerning this ayat, he says, وَاسْتَدَلَّ الْأُصُولِيُّونَ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ عَلَى الْإِحْتِجَاجِ بِأَفْعَالِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَنَّ الْعَصْلَ أَنَّ أُمَّتَهُ أُسْوَتُهُ فِي الْأَحْكَامِ إِلَّا مَا دَلَّ الدَّلِيلِ الشَّرْعِي عَلَى الْإِخْتِصَاصِ بِهِ. Yani, the scholars of usul fiqh, al-usuliyun, they use as a proof this ayat to establish their point of taking the actions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as yani the pattern to be followed, the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the asl, the original ruling, is that ummatahu, anna ummatahu uswatu fil ahkam, that his, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his ummah, that the rulings, the ahkam concerning the Prophet are the same as the rulings concerning his ummah. Yani, the condition of the ummah and the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the same concerning the ahkam, except that which there is a dalil shar'i, a legal evidence, which points to the fact of ikhtisas, that something is particular, peculiar, specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, exclusive to others. In the absence of a dalil shar'i, then the ahkam for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the ahkam for his ummah. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, yani that which is from the ikhtisas of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he was allowed to marry more than four wives. The hukm concerning how many women a person can marry for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exclusive for him. That's not for the rest of the ummah. Except in the presence of a dalil shar'i, whatever hukm is applicable to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is applicable to the people of his ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was allowed to fast without stopping, continuous fasting. Al-wisal. He was allowed to fast for 2, 3, 4 days as much as he wanted without breaking the fast. That's not permissible for the people. So in the absence of a dalil shar'i, then the hukm for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the hukm for his ummah. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says that the uswa, the example of following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is of two types. Al-uswa, nawa'an. Uswa hasana wa uswa sayyi'a. As far as the uswa, al-uswa al-hasana, the good example, the uswa, following the example of someone, it comes in two ways. A good example to be followed and an evil example to be followed. So al-uswa al-hasana, the good example, is in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The good example is following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that whoever follows him, takes him as an example, that is the one who will be traveling upon the path that leads to the favor and the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the straight path, as-sirat al-mustaqim. Whoever follows him, they will be on the path that leads to the karama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah honoring them, yani in Jannah. وَأَمَّا الْأُسْرَ الْأُسْوَى بِغَيْرِهِ إِذَا خَالَفَهُ فَهُوَ الْأُسْوَى السَّيِّئَةِ. So the following of anyone other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that which they opposed him in, doing something different than him, that is what is the evil uswa, the evil example to be followed, like the saying of the kuffar, the mushrikeen, when the messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them, to the various nations, called them, to following them, to following the messenger. Every messenger called his people to follow his example, and they said, "Inna wajadna abana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim muhtadun." That we found our forefathers, our ancestors, upon ala ummatin, ala deen, ala millah, following a certain religion, and we are being guided by following in their footsteps. We're going to follow the same thing that they were upon, meaning we're not going to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messengers, whichever messenger called them, they're not going to follow this. And this, as the Shaykh mentions in another place, that this was a shubha that the people used as a point to avoid following the messengers. That we found our fathers, our ancestors following this way for generations, and we're not going to follow something different. Even though they are astray, the Shaykh, he says, yani closing this ayah, he says, وَهَذِهِ الْأُسْوَى الْحَسَنَةِ إِنَّمَا يَسْلُقُهَا وَيُوَفَّقْ لَهَا مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ فَإِنَّمَا مَعْهُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَخَوْفِ اللَّهِ وَالرَّجَاعِ ثَوَابِهِ وَخَوْفِ عِقَابِهِ يَحُثُّهُ عَلَى التَّأَسِّي بِرَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Yani that this good example, verily, the only people who will follow it and who will be granted success in following it are those who have hope in Allah and the last day. Those who have with them the iman and the fear of Allah and the hope of the reward of Allah and the fear of the punishment of Allah, that would encourage them, that would push them to follow the example of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, after this ayah, he mentions the statement of Hassan, Al-Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah. He said, قَالَ قَوْمٌ عَلَىٰ أَحْدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّا نُحِبُّ رَبَّنَا فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Yani Al-Hassan al-Basri, the Shaykh, he mentions here the saying of Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, that the people in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, we love our Rabb. So Allah revealed this ayat. Say, if you, yani in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, if indeed you love Allah, then follow, yani Allah is telling the Prophet to say to them, if indeed you do love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you, and Allah will forgive you your sins. This is a very important ayat also, in this topic and outside of it. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, concerning this ayat, he says, and this is worthy of memorization, هذه الآية الكريمة حاكمة على كل من ادعى محبة الله وليس هو على طريق المحمدية. هذه الآية الكريمة حاكمة. This noble ayat is a judge upon whoever claims love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani it will judge who is truthful in their claim and who is not. حاكمة على كل من ادعى محبة الله وَلَيْسَ هُوَ عَلَى تَرِيقَ الْمُحَمَّدِيَةِ. He's claiming that he loves Allah while he is not upon the tariqah al-Muhammadiyya. Yani the tariqah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani he's on the tariqah Naqshbandiyya or tariqah al-Shadiliyya or tariqah al-Tijaniyya. He is not upon a tariqah Muhammadiyya. But he claims to love Allah. Wallahi, they claim to love Allah. But they follow a tariqah other than Tariqah Muhammadiyya. Isn't it clear? I mean, it's clear. How you claim to love Allah and you found a way other than the messenger that he sent. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he says, this ayat is a hakima. It's the final, conclusive, decisive judge against anyone who claims to love Allah while they are not upon the tariqah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَنَّهُ كَاذِبٌ فِي دَعْوَاهُ فِي نَفْسَ الْأَمْرِ. Indeed, this person is a liar in that matter that he's claiming that he loves Allah. He's a liar. Indeed, he is a liar. حَتَّى يَتَّبِيَ الشَّرَعَ الْمُحَمَّدِي وَالدِّينَ النَّبَوِي فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَقْوَالِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ وَأَحْوَالِهِ. So that person who makes this claim of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he's not following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he's a liar in reference to this claim that he's making of loving Allah, unless and until he follows الشَّرَعَ Al-Muhammadi, the law, the Sharia that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. Ad-Din al-Nabawi, the deen that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. Fi jami' aqwalihi wa af'alihi wa ahwalihi. And that is in all of his sayings, and in all of his actions, and in all of his yani ahwal, his conditions, his state of mind, what he is pleased with, and what he is displeased with. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Raditu billahi rabban. Yani that he's, I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ Islami Deen and will be Muhammad and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyan. I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb and with Islam as my deen and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Prophet. So whoever is not pleased with that, with Allah as the Rabb, yani Allah decreed a calamity and I'm not pleased with that calamity. That means you're not pleased with Allah as your Rabb. Because that's part of his rububiyyah, the divine decree. That's part of rububiyyah. So it means that we have to be in agreement with the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ. We have to be in agreement with the actions, the way he prayed. And some people, when they end the prayer, they're doing like this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What is this? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Other people doing like this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Other people doing something else. Strange things people are doing. That's not from the Prophet ﷺ. Whoever claims to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are not upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are lying in their claim until and unless they follow the Sharia that he came with and the deen that he came with in everything, in his speech, in his actions, and in his state of mind. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to three men who came to his family and they asked about his private life, and after hearing that, one of them said that I will pray all night and I will not sleep. And another one said, I will fast every day and I will not break fast. And the other one said, I will not marry women. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that I am the most fearful of Allah of you, the one who has most taqwa of Allah of all of you. And I sleep and I pray, and I fast and I break fast and I marry women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So whoever is not pleased with my sunnah, he is not from me. Not just what we say out of our mouths, or not even our actions, but our state of mind, the state of our heart, what we are pleased with and what we are displeased with, also has to be in agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the way, both of these hadith are sahih. Naam. So, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says that this ayat is a hakim, it's the judge against whoever claims to love Allah and they're not following the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is confirmed in the sahih from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever does an action that is not in agreement with this affair of ours, yani the deen, the sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever does a deed not in agreement with that, not in accordance to that, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ يعني مَرْدُودٌ, then it is rejected. It is rejected. It is not accepted. We're going to come back to this hadith. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir goes on to say, and for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you. And Ibn Kathir says that you will achieve what's greater than what you are seeking. You will achieve, yani, beyond what you claimed, your love for Allah, you will achieve the love of Allah for you. And that love of Allah for you is greater than the claim that you are making of loving Allah. And what's greater than that is that Allah will love you. If you follow the Prophet, Allah will love you. And this is as some of the ulama and the hukama, they said, لَيْسَ شَعْنُ أَن تُحِبْ إِنَّمَا شَعْن أَن تُحَبْ. Yani, what is important is not that you claim love, what is important that you are loved. That you are loved. Not your claim of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but what is important is that Allah loves you. And that can be achieved by following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah said, زَعْمَ قَوْمٌ أَنَّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَبَتَلَاهُمُ اللَّهِ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. Yani, people claimed that they loved Allah, so Allah tested them, put them to trial by this ayat. Indeed, if you love Allah, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were put to test by this. And the people today are put to test by this. And, yani, okay, and I'll leave the rest, because anyway, go back and read the Tafsir Ibn Kathir concerning this ayat and the following ayat in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 32nd ayat. Yani, this is the 31st ayat. Go back and also read the 32nd ayat, because here, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir mentions something of great importance, and that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Yani, Allah doesn't love the kafirin, meaning that opposing the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is kufr. Opposing the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is kufr. Go back and read the Tafsir Ibn Kathir and see this very important statement that he makes here. He said, even if the prophets and messengers, rather Ulul Azm, if any of them came in the time of the Prophet, they would have no choice except to follow him. And people want to follow something else other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Truly ajeeb. And also, yani, the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, I'm not going to read it, you know, for the sake of time, unless in the end, if we still have a few minutes, I may come back to it. But in any case, yani, just one point he makes here concerning this same ayat, telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to the people, if indeed you love Allah, then follow me. He said, in this ayat is the obligation of having love of Allah. وَعَلَامَتُهَا, and the signs of that love of Allah. وَنَتِيجَتُهَا, and the result of that love of Allah. وَثَمَرَاتُهَا, and the rewards, the fruits of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, yani, after he mentioned, I mean, going back to the book, after the statement of Hasan al-Basri, the Shaykh, he says, فَالْإِتِّبَاعُ, يعني, فَإِتِّبَاعُ الرَّسُولِ, following, strictly adhering to, the following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالتَأَسِّي بِهِ, and taking him as an example, a model, doing so, yani, this is a dalil, a proof, عَلَى صِدْقْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani, following the Prophet, strictly in his speech, in his actions, in his state of mind, yani, thinking the way he thinks and acting the way he acts, loving what he loves and hating what he hates. Naam, loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah, according to the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is an indication of the truthfulness of a person's love of Allah ta'ala. Then al-ittiba wal-iqtida bin-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was-sayr ala manhajihi Al-Qawim, huwa ayn al-tazkiyah. And this is because, yani, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and taking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example and traveling upon his way, his manhaj, his straight upright path, this is exactly tazkiyah al-nafs. This is ayn al-tazkiyah. This is tazkiyah itself, following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ولا يمكن الوصول إليها بغير ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And it's not possible for a person to reach the tazkiyat al-nafs, the purification of the soul, by other than what the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came with. It's not possible to reach it, purification of the nafs, by a way other than what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم brought. The Shaykh, he says, وَيُحْدِثُ أَئِمَّةُ الضَّلَالِ, the imams of misguidance. They have come, they have invented new things. In every time period, تُرُقًا مُنْكَرًا, يعني evil paths, in which they claim that those paths contain, يعني, the way to purification of the soul. In every time period, in every era, the imams of misguidance, أَئِمَّةُ الضَّلَالِ, he called them imams of misguidance. They came with turuq, evil ways, through which they claim the soul can be purified. وَيُحَذِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ, and the hearts can be polished. وَتُقَوِّي السِّلَةِ بِاللَّهِ, and these ways are the means through which a person will strengthen their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other than this, they claimed also, from the things that they claimed. وَيُوصُونَ بِالْإِنْقِطَاعِ عَنَ الْجَمَاعَاتِ وَالْخَلْوَ فِي أَمَاكِنْ مُذْلِمَةِ, they advise the people to cut themselves off from the jama'at and to seclude themselves in dark places and to repeat adhkar khasa, special words of remembrance, and alfaz mu'ayyina, and some yani particular expressions that they made up, that they invented, that's not from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which they claim will be the means of purification and polishing the heart and nurturing or cultivating the nafs, to other than that, from the false claims that they make. Yani, in summary, every group of deviation, especially of Sufia, they came with some new way, certain things to do or to say, practices, yani, seclusion, that through which they said this is the means of purification of the soul, and none of it has any basis in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يقول العلامة ابن القيم رحمه الله تزكية النفوس أصعب من علاج الأبدان وأشد, يعني the purification of the souls is more difficult than the treatment of bodies, physical bodies. وأشد, it's more difficult, and يعني the same, أصعب أشد, I don't know. Now, it's difficult, it's hard to do. Purifying the soul is more difficult than treating the sicknesses of the physical body. فَمَنْ زَكَّ نَفْسَهُ بِالرِّيَاضَةِ وَالْمُجَاهَدَةِ وَالْخَلْوَةِ الَّتِي لَمْ يَجِئْ بِهَا الرُّسُلُ هُوَ كَالْمَرِيدِ الَّذِي يُعَالِجُ نَفْسَهُ بِرَأْيِهِ وَأَيْنَ يَقَعُ رَأْيُهُ مِنْ مَعْرِفَةِ الطَّبِيبِ. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that whoever attempts to purify himself by riyadha, some physical yani exercises that the Sufis made up, or mujahada, yani exerting himself in some deviant ways that they made up, or al-khulu, secluding theirself, yani being alone for long periods of time in seclusion, all of these things or none of these things came from the messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Doing this, trying to purify the soul, is like the sick person who treats himself just by his own opinion. And a person has cancer, and he says, I think, maybe I can cure myself by eating apples. That might sound stupid, but some of the things that the people do, I'm not talking about physical cures, I'm talking about spiritual purification. What these people are doing to purify themselves is as ridiculous. Now, a person who's not a doctor, and he's sick, he has yani some kind of sickle cell anemia, and he says, probably I think in my mind I can cure myself by just sleeping day and night, and he just made it up. Ibn al-Qayyim is saying that the person who tries to purify himself from physical sickness, and he doesn't have any knowledge of this matter, yani this is the same as these people trying to purify themselves without following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam And where is your opinion? Yani, where does your opinion stand in reference to the knowledge of a doctor? And the same, yani, the people who are trying to purify the souls without the knowledge of the one who has been sent with the way of purification of the souls. So the messengers, they are atibba'u al-qulub. They are the doctors of the hearts. فَلَا سَبِيلَ. There's absolutely no way إِلَى تَزْكِيَتُهَا وَصَلَاحِهَا إِلَّا مِنْ طَرِيقِهِمْ وَعَلَى أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِمَحْضِ الْإِنْقِيَادِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانِ. Ibn Qayyim closes by saying, the messengers, they are the doctors of the hearts. And there's absolutely no way to purification of the soul or the restoration or rectification of the souls except by way of the prophets and messengers alayhi wasalam, and at the hands of the prophets and messengers alayhi wasalam, and with total absolute inqiyad, yani surrender and taslim, yani compliance to the messengers alayhi wasalatu wasalam, wallahu musta'an. There's no other way to do it. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, Allah protect and preserve him, he says, وَأَيْذًا فَجَمِيعُ الْآمَالِ أَلَّتِي لَيْسَ عَلَيْهَا أَمْرُ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم مَرْدُودٌ عَلَى صَاحِبِهِ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُ رَدٌّ أي مَرْدُودٌ عَلَى صَاحِبِهِ. وَأَيْذًا جَمِيعُ الْآمَالِ, all deeds, whatever they might be, yani in every field, in every aspect of life, whatever people do, whether it's for tazkiyat al-nafs or other than that, yani whoever is attempting to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all deeds that the people do that is not in accordance with this Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, then it is rejected on the one who made it up. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih from Aisha radiallahu anha, whoever does any deed, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا, which is not in accordance with this affair of ours, this deen of Islam, فهو رد, يعني, then it is مردود على صاحبه, is rejected, يعني returned to the one who made it up. A similar narration came in Bukhari and Muslim from Aisha. Al-Imam Nawawi mentions it in his explanation of Sahih Muslim. Yani he mentions the first narration, that is the narration from Bukhari and Muslim. This narration is from Muslim that we just read. He mentions the narration that's reported by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. من أحدث, whoever invents something new in this matter of ours, in this deen of Islam, that is not from it, then it is rejected. Al-Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whoever invents something new in this affair of ours that is not from it will have it rejected. He said, and in another narration, the narration that the Shaykh mentions here, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahu raddun. Yani whoever does a deed that is not in accordance with this affair of ours, then it is rejected. Two narrations, both of them from Aisha. One of them from Bukhari Muslim and the other collected by Imam Muslim. The Shaykh says, the people of Arabic language, Ahlul Lugah, the scholars of Arabic language, they said, Ar-Rad, yani, فَهُوَ رَدٌ. The Rad here, it is the meaning of it is Mardood. The meaning of it is, هُوَ بَاطِلٌ غَيْرَ مُعَتَدْ بِهِ. Yani, it is false, invalid, it doesn't count. Whoever does a deed that's not in accordance with what the Prophet ﷺ came with, it is false, it's invalid, it doesn't count. Al-Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, says, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ قَائِدَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِنْ قَوَائِدِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that this principle is a great, tremendous, magnificent principle from the fundamental principles of Islam. وَهُوَ مِنْ جَوَامِ كَلِمِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it is from the comprehensive speech of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning speech that even though it's a few words, it's not a lot of words, but it's comprehensive, it covers so much. It's comprehensive. فَإِنَّهُ صَرِيحٌ فِي رَدْ كُلِّ بِدْعَةٍ وَمُخْتَرَعَاتٍ. Yani because it is clear that it is the rejection of every innovation and everything that's newly invented in Islam. In just a few words, he made it clear that anything that came new is absolutely rejected. وَفِي الرِّوَايَةِ الثَّانِيَ زِيَادَةً. And in the second narration, there's something extra. Yani the second narration that he mentions, which is yani the narration that the Shaykh mentions in our book. That's the second narration. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا. He said in the second narration, there's something extra above and beyond what's in the first narration. The first narration, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا. Whoever invents something new that is not from this matter of ours, from Islam, it will be rejected. In the second narration, whoever does any deed that is not in accordance with this deen of ours, it is rejected. What's the difference? What's the ziyada in man amila amalan? What's the ziyada? Yani man ahdatha means whoever invented something, it will be rejected. Man amila, whether you invented it or not, if you do it, it will be rejected. There's a difference between the two. Look what the Shaykh al-Imam Nawawi says. In the second narration, there's ziyada. وهو أنه قد يعاند بعض القائلين في بدعة سبق إليها. That some people may be stubborn and rebellious because they are doing some bid'ah that it was there before them. They didn't invent it. And they will say, if a person argues with them, brings proof against them with this first riwayah, من أحدث, whoever invents something new, that person will say, أنا ما أحدثت شيئاً. I didn't invent anything. I'm not the one who invented it, so that doesn't apply to me. Whoever invents something, it will be rejected. He's saying, I didn't invent it. It was already here. I found the people of deviation doing it, and I just followed them. So the Shaykh, he said, if a person tries to argue with them, this is what they will say. I didn't invent anything. In that case, now you will argue with them with the second narration, which contains in it clear, sarih, tasrih, birad kulli al-muhtathat. Clearly the rejection of everything that is new, that has no basis in Islam. No matter whether you invented it, the one who's doing it right now, or somebody invented it before you. Doesn't matter. وفي هذا الحديث دليل لمن يقول من الأصوليين إن النهي يقتضي الفساد. يعني, and then he wanted to talk about some matter of usul. And he says, يعني وهذا الحديث مما ينبغي حفظه العناية بحفظه. يعني this, Imam Nawawi said, this hadith is from amongst those that ينبغي حفظه. It is befitting of a Muslim to memorize it. واستعماله في إبطال المنكرات. And using it to prove the falsehood of the evil actions that the people invented. وإشاعة الاستدلال به. And to make known how this hadith is a proof against the falsehood. So Imam Nawawi is suggesting to us that we should memorize this hadith. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, after mentioning this hadith, and we close with this, the Shaykh, he says, قال الإمام سفيان بن عيينة الإمام سفيان بن عيينة رحمه الله, one of the great scholars of Islam, that every one of us we should read about and know who is الإمام سفيان بن عيينة, who came after the time of الإمام سفيان الثوري رحمه الله. الإمام سفيان بن عيينة رحمه الله, he said, "Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam huwa al-mizan al-akbar." That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his speech, in his actions, in his ahwal, he is the great scale, yani that's used to measure things, to judge what's right and wrong. فَعَلَيْهِ تُعْرَضُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. So things, everything is subjected, is compared to him, is weighed, judged by the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. عَلَى خُلُقِهِ وَسِيرَتِهِ وَحَدِّهِ. That we judge things by the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani he is al-mizan al-akbar, the greatest scale, yani measuring instrument to determine truth from falsehood. فما وافقها ف فَهُوَ الْحَقِّ. So whatever is in agreement with the khuluq, with the seerah, with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, then it is al-haq. وَمَا خَالَفَهَا فَهُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. And whatever is in contradiction, in opposition to the Prophet ﷺ and his guidance, his character and his manners and his da'wah, his aqeedah, whatever is in contradiction to that, then it is batil, falsehood. وَلِهَذَا وَجَبَ. And the Shaykh closed with this, and for this reason, وَجَبَ عَلَى مَنْ أَرَادَ تَزْكِيَةَ نَفْسِهِ أَنْ يُجَاهِدَ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْإِتِّبَاعِ وَالْإِقْتِدَاعِ وَالتَّأَسِّي بِالرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْحَذَرْ مِنَ الْمُحْدَثَاتِ وَالْمُخْتَرَعَاتِ وَالتَّرَائِقِ الْمُبْتَدَعَاتِ الَّتِي يَدَّعِي أَرْبَابُهَا أَنَّهَا تُزَكِّي النُّفُوسِ. So for this reason, yani for the reason that the Prophet ﷺ is the model to be followed, the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for us to follow in everything in life, because he is the model and he is the mizan, the scale of what is haq and what is batil. For this reason, it's obligatory on anyone who wants to purify himself, and yujahida nafsahu, that you strive against yourself. Yani you strive to force yourself, to compel yourself, to pressure, even though it may not be in agreement. Yujahid nafsahu, to strive to force your nafs into al-ittiba, wal-iqtida, wal-ta'assi bil-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and following him, and taking him as an example, and making him our model, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving against ourselves to take caution against all newly invented matters, everything that has been invented, every way, tara'iq al-mubtada'at, that has been innovated, through which they claim, those people who innovated, they claim that it is a means of purification of the nafs. Naam. So this is the end of our al-qa'idah al-rabia. And as I mentioned in the beginning, this is something, and he's taking the example of Amar, as the Prophet ﷺ, as Amar, an example, something that we're all familiar with, and that we talk about and we think about, and we know it already, but now let's look at it from a different perspective, and that is that following the example of the Prophet ﷺ is not only obligatory upon us, not only is it the means to earn the reward of Allah and the pleasure of Allah, but it is also one of the tremendous, important principles, yani factors, elements of tazkiyat al-nafs. Yani the person, you can purify your nafs by following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in whatever he said and whatever he did, and trying to be like him in everything that we do, whether it is in first and foremost and most importantly, how we believe. Because tawheed is the foundation of tazkiyah, right? How we worship, how we give da'wah, how we deal with our families, our classmates, our co-workers, our neighbors, in the society, whatever we are doing, how we do business, how we give da'wah, whatever it might be, our akhlaq, our adab, everything has to be in accordance with the Prophet ﷺ. And the more that a person strives to be in compliance with the sunnah, as-sahihah, yani that is sahih, then the more yani they will achieve the purification of their nafs. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. وفيكم بارك الله.